Hello, everyone. Welcome to Game Junk Prototype, episode 62, recording on Thursday, May 20th, 2021. My name is Frank.
And my name is Sean.
And my name's Andrew.
And we have, well, up until this afternoon, we had absolutely nothing to talk about. So we are going to do our top five horror games of all time. Everybody loves horror games these days, and I don't love them. I like them, but we'll get into our top fives. But before we do, a little present dropped in our laps before recording. Sean sent me a message, and I could tell right away. I was salivating. Couldn't wait. Huge news today.
Huge.
Absolutely astronomical news. Nintendo's new Zelda Amiibo removes tedium for an extra $25. I'm looking at the Verge.com right here. And it's basically the Skyward Sword remake that's coming July 16th. Has an Amiibo. A pretty nice Amiibo, I'll say it. I got a bunch of them around here. Not a bad Amiibo. That if you use that brilliant, non-clumsy NFC technology, you can fast travel in that game, which was not available in the original game, but you can with this Amiibo. And people are losing it. Some people are loving it. It's just a one-letter swap, a V versus an S. I'm losing it because I love fast travel. And I mean, I'm going to get into some comments from this website in a second, but I expect this is a new thing. I haven't done a ton of research, but you know, I'm expecting some people to be rationalizing it. Like, yeah, I do this in some ways with stuff like, well, you don't have to buy it if you don't want to do that. I get that. But you know, this is fast travel. It's going to make the game 20 times better. Finding one of these Amiibos typically is impossible. I didn't even think about a lot of places are still in a pandemic. You can't go to a store to buy it. Not to mention the annoyingness of, I'm assuming, every time you fast travel, you have to
tap the
open Amiibo. The reader and tap the Amiibo, which I was being a little sarcastic at the beginning of the episode. Using Amiibos is annoying as fuck in games. I hate them. I use them sparingly and like shamefully in Mario Odyssey sometimes. And it's just not fun to do. I'd pay $25 to have fast travel, even though I understand people would be furious if that was the case. And as many comments here say, if any other company, namely, number one, EA, number two, Sony, number three, Microsoft, did something like this, it would be a debacle. And I'm not seeing a whimper here. I mean, to be honest, I haven't checked it out too much.
You're not seeing a whimper. I mean, why are we talking about it? There's definitely controversy over it.
Like, I'm not seeing a headline. I don't see a headline at IGN at all. I'm sure it's coming tomorrow, but
they already accepted their money, their Nintendo money.
No, I saw something. I don't know if it was like one of their podcasts or something, but there was.
It's not even on their front page in the first.
Like, there's something. I just saw it.
Where, bud? Where?
Maybe not on the front page.
Yeah.
The Skyward Sword Amiibo controversy, NVC 561. So I guess is that a podcast?
I can't even find it anywhere here. Anyway.
It's near the bottom.
Let's go back to The Verge. Anyway, you guys, while I'm prepping these comments, you guys, what do you think? I'm assuming you think it's a terrible idea, like anyone does.
Well, okay, I can't. So the first thing to say is I've barely played Skyward Sword, so I don't actually understand totally, like, what I was reading. People are saying fast travel, but like it's something to do with being able to go into the sky and then come back to where you went into the sky or something. I don't really know what this mechanic is.
I remember, you know, you have to skydive down, which gets a little annoying every time you want to. Maybe you could skip that. I didn't play the game much either, and it's been a while. But yeah, I mean, to be fair, I heard it was fast travel, or like kind of the summary said that. Maybe it is a little more intricate or nuanced than that. I don't know.
Yeah, so that's my first question. I can't totally say based on that, but I mean, yeah, I could see why people are upset. But the thing is,
sorry, Sean.
Nintendo
fast travel in Skyward Sword is normally only accessible at in-game save points. So there was a version of it in the game, and when this new amiibo is placed on the Switch in the HD remake, you can automatically return to the sky to restock on items or upgrade something, then return to wherever you were without missing a beat. So, sounds like it might cut down on grinding a bit or something like that. It doesn't seem as bad as I initially described.
Right.
Still not great, though.
But the other thing I was going to say is Nintendo has done this with a lot of amiibo stuff before. Maybe not a lot, but you know, some of the amiibos, they just give you like
costumes
or like
findings. It'll give you
bonus power up or something, but not necessarily like, you know,
a major mechanic feature.
But there are some, like the Shovel Knight one unlocked co-op mode. I think they eventually made it so that everyone had it, but that was a thing for a while. So, I mean, it's not like the craziest thing in the world. And to me, I don't totally know why this has... I think it has caused a bit of a backlash on Nintendo. And I'm not totally sure why.
You're not sure why?
Compared to other stuff they've done in the past. Like, I think that fast travel thing that you said, like, that sounds like a big feature. I just don't know if that's exactly...
Yeah, I guess I'm coming to your side a bit here, but... Hawk, what do you think?
Well, I just did a quick search of Twitter, and people seem upset, but there's not even like a hashtag like Amiibo Gate yet. So obviously, it's not that big. So
yeah, we're getting there.
I must say that who cares? Like, really, Nintendo's gonna pull this shit, and then everyone's gonna complain, and then there's this magical thing called a patch where they just update your software, and oh, look at that, it's available for everybody, and. People will forget it 2 months from now after the game's out, and it won't be a big deal. And yes, I agree with you, Frank, that if any other company did this, they would be raked over the coals. But like, there is just so much love out there for Nintendo that they can do no wrong, and people will kind of just accept their food ration from Nintendo and buy Skyward Sword that they've already played, that they've already hated, that they will play again. And no one should play this game. I recall this game being horrible. Didn't it have like a 25-hour tutorial before you even get to the ground?
That's all I remember about the game, to be honest with you. But
I don't care that much. Maybe I care a bit more than usual because I do like fast travel. And to be fair to Sean, I don't know the context 100%, but let's get into some comments. I got to get some of these. So... I'm outraged. However, I gladly would have spent $75 on the 35th Super Mario Brothers amiibo for one of 64 Sunshine Galaxy. Next, obviously, I've already pre-ordered this. Indeed, this is some bullshit. Nintendo pulls something like this 30 or 40 more times. I'm seriously going to consider not buying their next console. Or, okay, at least I'll consider not pre-ordering it. So I think there was some sarcasm in that comment, which I like. This plastic garbage is not how you should sell in-game features. I have a tiny little apartment with a multi-use, and the multi-use Switch is great for it, but the features locked to physical crap is just not necessary. I would totally shell out the money for the in-game add-ons in Breath of the Wild instead of the amiibo, which don't even guarantee you a certain item. Whatever. I'm totally the opposite. I hate cash grab DLC like this in any game, but I don't mind spending a bit to get a cool little figurine. The fact that the DLC is tied to a physical figurine makes this a tiny bit less sketchy for me. So a little Nintendo rationalization there. let's ship a broken user experience and sell a toy that fixes it. Nintendo is the biggest Chad. Hey, I feel like the guy who says a game is broken because he can't fast travel from anywhere is the big Chad.
hang on.
There's definitely an argument to be made about not changing the gameplay on a remaster of an old game. lots of rationalization from Nintendo fans here.
Hang on. I got to look up what a Chad is.
It's sort of like a bro. I think. I don't even know, to be honest.
Well, so Frank, I just got to ask you though, like from, go ahead.
No, I'm just reading what a chat is.
Oh, okay. From the point of view of an actual Amiibo collector, somebody who has a bunch of Amiibo sitting on his back shelf there. I mean, I have some of these things, and there's a part of me, and maybe this is Nintendo rationalization, I don't know, but like there's a collectible thing that you're kind of like, yeah, that's kind of cool. I wouldn't mind buying that. I'm not saying this specific one, but you know, as a collectible on its own, I'm like, this thing's useless. Like, I'm just buying this thing to have on my shelf or whatever. But now I hear that, wait a minute, it actually introduces this cool feature in a game that I'm going to get. And I'm like, oh, okay, there's a little bonus there. And I think that's what one of the commenters was saying. There's a part of my brain that is thinking that. You're telling me you're not thinking that at all, Frank?
No, because as we know, Amiibos are underproduced, hard to find, and I've given up on ever buying Amiibos because they are impossible to get sometimes, and I'm not putting in the effort to get them anymore. If they were easy to get, they made an infinite amount or an on-demand amount so that they could satisfy everyone who wants this feature getting it, that to me is the biggest issue here. Like, there's a barrier to getting this feature, but whatever. I don't know. When is Nintendo going to go to non-fungible tokens? When is that happening? That's got to be coming.
Never.
Right?
No way.
This could be the turning point. I don't know. I have to admit, I was a little surprised. I didn't even really realize they were still making Amiibos. I can't remember the last one I heard about.
Oh, they're making them, bud.
So if anything, this is great advertising for Nintendo that, hey, Amiibos are still being made. Go out and get them.
I, for one, am happy that Nintendo is using deals, physical DLC. All right, let's get to our top five horror games.
Okay, so just to preface this whole thing, because I don't know how you guys feel about your list. I mean, like, I probably could have done a top 10, but that being said, I still feel like it's a genre that there's a lot of big ones that I haven't played, so they won't be on my list. And I don't know between the three of us if there's going to be some big ones that none of us have played. Probably the case. But, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, there's two ways to approach this list. You could do any game that has horror elements. What is the best game of those? Versus, you know, what actually embraces the idea of horror and is the scariest. That's another way. My list is pretty much horror-themed games. Which ones do I think are the best?
Okay.
What did you guys do?
I mean, I would say they had to be games that I played and enjoyed to start with. But then I would say within that, I was thinking a little bit more about the horror side than just like best game that is in the genre.
And for me, I kind of picked games that were scary, not necessarily like horror, but definitely like got my heart racing, definitely were, you know, induced some panic, like sort of like horror games are supposed to do. So I don't know if all the games on my list would be defined as horror games, quote unquote, but to me they would fit into the genre of having horror elements.
Okay.
Who would like to go first with their number five? I'll go first. My number five is, now as this was proposed to me, top five horror games. This is a bit of a cheat in a few ways, but I put Nightmare, the VHS board game. Specifically, wow, if I okay. have to pick one, Nightmare 2 with Baron Samedi, a little more of the comedy horror genre compared to the other ones. But, all the Nightmare games are a little bit of comedy.
This is also known as Atmosphere, right?
Well, I think it was Atmosphere in its where it originated, but the first games were Nightmare 1 through 4, and then the fifth one, they got away from that, and it was called Atmosphere, which were VHS games where the full VHSs are on YouTube. You could kind of probably print off a board and play it if you wanted to. I'm surprised there's not people doing that on YouTube or something like that, but there might be. I don't know. I've never looked. But yeah, it was like a timer, and every once in a while it would be a jump scare where the gatekeeper, Baron Somdi or Elizabeth Bathory would come in and scare the shit out of you. And I know in the one game you had to turn up the furnace because you're in the fires of hell. 4D experiences.
There you go.
That's good choice. A classic, yeah.
I can go next. My number five, probably not on people's lists, but I picked The Last of Us, actually, because of, you know, the horror elements and being stressed within, you know, some of those clicker environments.
The clickers are kind of terrifying, or can be. Like,
yeah.
They're some of the most intense moments, for sure, in games.
Yeah. So I threw that on there as my number five.
Interesting.
Okay. My number five, this one I was a little torn on. I don't know if it's on your guys' lists, but I went with Left 4 Dead, which, you know, on first thought I was like, yeah, it's not a single player game. It's, you know, it's not that scary. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, I don't know. There's some pretty intense moments playing multiplayer with this game.
I don't know.
And the thing is, like, they had this way, I don't know exactly how they did it. I mean, I guess it was just kind of balancing and stuff, but the end of every level, they always managed to have, like, everything ramping up, and it was so intense, and, like, people would be, like, right on the verge of dying, and you just maybe one or two people would get away, and it was just always balanced that way, that it was great, so.
The old AI director.
Yeah, so.
Nice.
Left 4 Dead.
Huck,
there you go.
Coming in with the AI terminology. Well, my number four is Left 4 Dead as well. I don't even know why you're questioning it, Sean. It's got like a zombie with chopped off fingers on it. It's full of zombies. Case closed. It's a horror game.
Well, I'm not arguing it's not a horror game, but I just, my first thought was, I don't know if it's that scary.
It's a horror game. It's a great game. It's not scary. It's intense. It's amazing. Left 4 Dead. One. My number four.
Nice. Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking about two, and I couldn't really remember what the differences were.
All the memories are with one. You got to go with one.
Yeah.
My number four, possibly a little off the board, maybe not, PT, the playable trailer by Konami. Uh-oh.
Frank, not a full game. That doesn't count.
I still liked it. I thought it was a neat experience. I enjoyed the creepiness of it. You know, the mind fuckery. I enjoyed it. Horror.
Have not played.
I think it's a good pick. I didn't play enough of it, but like I actually today, knowing we were doing this list, I tried to look into, because I know there's still a way apparently you can download this thing to your PS4 if you proxy through your computer or something. I couldn't get it to work, so it's not on my list.
I mean, this might be the one case where you watch like a Let's Play if you were that.
Well, apparently some people were doing a remake of it in Unreal Engine too. I don't know if that's got shut down or if it's still out there, but I'm gonna have to look into that.
I have it on my PS4 if you ever want to play it, or in real on a real console.
Okay. It's a new bootleg, bud.
All right, my number four, something I recently played, Little Nightmares, which, I mean, haven't played part two yet. Maybe part two could overtake it, but it's a fairly short game, but I really liked it, and I think the big thing for me was, like, the design of the characters and the creatures is just so kind of demented and grotesque, and, yeah, it's a little cartoony, but, you know, there's plenty of intense chases in the game, and... I would love to see more horror stuff that's a little bit quirkier and just weird, you know? So many of the big horror games are just zombies, just things you've kind of seen before. But this one I felt wasn't really that.
Okay. I know it's very popular these days. My number three, you have to pick a Resident Evil game. Which one are you going to pick? I mean, I literally could have picked two. HD remake 3. Part of me wanted to pick the original, gave 4 some consideration, but ultimately, consider it recency bias if you want. Resident Evil Village. I think I may have even said on the show it might be my favorite Resident Evil game, and I really enjoyed it, and it's fresh in my mind, so that's the one I went with. Just for the logo, having the 8 Roman numerals, embedded in the word village, pushed it over the top. Thank you, Capcom.
My number three, probably another one off the board, Darkest Dungeon, which I don't know if you guys have played this game, but it is terrifying after a while to go into these dungeons with the team and just have them be afflicted with all these different, you know, horror things and, you know, running into random traps and bosses that come about and then having your party completely wiped out by these things. And I haven't played a game that has, like, stressed me out this much in a while or in a long time that where I just, like, I don't really want to play it because it kind of, like, stresses me out so bad. So this is definitely on my list, top three, or number three.
Hmm. Okay. My number three is Dead Space 2, which I think, I don't know, I feel like some people prefer the first one. I played a bit of it, but
I think everyone.
Dead Space 2, I played right, I don't think I finished it, but to the end.
I don't think Sean heard that.
I didn't hear it. I assume it's that I never beat games, but that's okay.
No, I said I think everyone thinks the first one's better. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Okay. I really liked two, and I thought, you know, it was so spoiler, I don't have Alien Isolation on my list cuz didn't play it more
than
an hour.
This was a chance. It's your favorite movie of all time, Sean.
Oh, I know. That's definitely an embarrassment not to have played yet, but I mean, for me, Dead Space kind of captured a feeling of aliens, you know, sci-fi and horror kind of merged perfectly together, and yeah, I just remember it being a very atmospheric, intense experience, and yeah, I really liked it.
All right, my number two and Huck's number one is Dead Space 1. I actually considered it putting it number one. It, in terms of a horror game, it is about as good as it gets. I cannot. The reason why I wanted to put it number one is the horizontal, vertical slicing of weapons. Like, I love that concept. It was the first game that did that. The dismemberment, the integrated HUD. Whew, I'm kind of regretting not putting it number one, but, you know, my number one is kind of undeniable. So, original Dead Space. Might be regretting not putting it number one.
Well, I must say my pre-show analysis was bang on.
Yeah.
My number two, Frank, thinking I was going to put it number one, is Dead Space. So, correct. Same thing all Frank right. just said. Amazing game, amazing atmosphere, amazing mechanics. It's probably the first game I can remember that had, like, complete diegetic UI, which means it's, like, in the environment, where the health pack's on his back and the menu or your inventory is in, you know, the world space. I can't think of a game before this that did that. I don't think Far Cry 2 was out yet. Maybe it was. But this is the first one that really kind of, like, captured that idea really well for me. And yeah, just all the monsters and, like, the dismemberment, just amazing stuff.
Yeah. And that diegetic UI thing, I mean, other games have done it, but, like, it kind of has a purpose with this, right? Because, like, mm-hmm. you're kind of in it's immersive. It's like you're not thinking about game type stuff. You're just in that space, dead in mm-hmm. the dead space. So there you go. All right, my number two, you got to have a Resident Evil, and I went with number four, probably not surprisingly. Although, you know, like I certainly would consider some of the other ones. I don't know that I've finished all the other ones. I have some memories of the first one, just, you know, from the early levels being pretty damn scary for the time. Like, so you got to give props there. But Resident
the
Evil
damn
4,
dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dog was almost the selling feature for part one for me.
Yeah. But part four, I mean, I remember early on in the game just this moment where things kind of dynamically seemed to happen around me, and, like, I was being chased by this guy with a chainsaw, and I was just like, I don't know, there was something about that experience that felt different to me. And, you know, of course, the fact that they added the combat elements and made it kind of more accessible without necessarily sacrificing the suspense and the white knuckle elements of it. But yeah, I mean, that's still my favorite. And I don't know. We'll see when I get through Village how I feel.
All right. My number one, number four will be your favorite. Possibly for VR in the near future.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I had played the Walking Dead VR game for this because I hear really good things. But I don't. Number one for me is The Last of Us. Of course it has to be. It's one of the greatest games ever made. As we talked about, stress of encounters, stress of management on higher difficulties. I mean, there's zombies. Counts as horror to me at that point. And an amazing game. So I guess Huck went with Doom. I forgot about the Carmack factor. I forgot. I can't believe I forgot pre-show. I'm an idiot. Go ahead, Huck.
Well, you got to have a Resident Evil on there, right? So I went with Doom. Yeah. I mean, some of those jump scares where you have like the invisible hog enemy, whatever that thing is called, come out of nowhere and scare the shit out of you, or... You know, you're walking through an environment, all of a sudden you get dropped down into some, like, dark room with random enemies. Like, this has all the elements of horror, just with, you know, more primitive graphics, I guess you could say, than, you know, more traditional games that have been on our list. And, yeah, I mean, it's probably a better game than The Last of Us, in my opinion. And that's why it's number one. It's obvious.
I mean, it's... an interesting choice, too, because I feel like a lot of people maybe wouldn't consider it for this, but I think it absolutely...
Well, I think it's a horror game, for sure.
Yeah, I do. I just think people would not necessarily put it in that category off the top of their head, but my number one is also The Last of Us, which, you know, I think it's more than a horror game in a lot of ways, and obviously has a great story, but I think, yeah, I just remember, like, playing this before part two came out, and I was playing it with headphones, which I don't do that often, and it was pretty intense, I gotta say. Like, I mean, I one of the things I struggle with this game, and I know Frank probably disagrees with this, particularly on lower difficulty levels, but to me, like, at a certain point I was like, had to kind of learn, like, okay, maybe don't kill everything, like, just try to sneak by, just try to get out, you know, just try to stay alive, basically. And that was kind of something that I hadn't, you know, when I initially played this game, hadn't really occurred to me. But that, I think, is really what makes it so intense. And yeah, I mean, I considered part two as well, but I think part two gets away a bit from the zombies and the horror and goes more in the direction of revenge and man's inhumanity to man, which, you know, I just didn't think that was as effective.
First one's way better. Shorter, more succinct, better overall experience. Undeniable. Not quite the techgasm, but what are you going to do?
Yep.
All right. That was our top five horror games. I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know if you agree or disagree. I'm sure everyone disagrees. No problems.
Yeah. So we got our AAA fanboys. I know Frank doesn't do honorable mentions, but we got to mention a few other things.
The only thing I will not honorably but mention is if I did not include Nightmare, which was kind of a joke, my number five would have been Doom.
Sure, it would have. I don't believe you.
I mean, I deleted
you
it from.
Me, you
I
said
deleted
you forgot
it from,
about it.
No. I deleted
you said
it from
you forgot
my draft.
About the Carmack factor.
Yeah, I forgot about the Carmack factor for you pre-show when I was saying what your number one was, which was stupid, but that's okay.
So something that almost made my list, and I don't know if, you know, maybe I was second-guessing being too close to this one, but Eternal Darkness almost made
my
list.
Well, I thought about it.
And, you know, I think some people kind of made the argument that the sanity effects and stuff were kind of gimmicky, and that I remember playing through the game and feeling like I didn't see a lot of them because I was just purposely trying to not go insane. So maybe that's a problem with it in a way, but I still think the sanity effects are really cool. And I mean, the score was amazing. There were some good jump scares.
It's a great game. Like the narrative structure, like different characters and your like experience. I mean, I really thought about it, and it was just more like I respect and love so much about that game. I just like don't remember like loving it, like not loving it, but like thinking this is the best game I've played when I played it. If anything, I was kind of like, the reviews were amazing. I'm like, this is really good, but I don't know if I like it this much. But like now that I'm older and kind of know what that is, and there's nothing like it out there, I really would like to go back and play it again.
Yeah.
I haven't played it since like it first came out in 2004 or whatever it was. So
I was also considering it for my list, but I haven't beat it. I probably only got a quarter of the way, halfway through. And so I felt like that's why I dropped off my list. I just didn't feel like it had the place with the other games that I have played more of.
Yeah, I think I got stuck towards the end, like the very end of that game, and also didn't beat it.
I remember being the rare game that I beat and you guys didn't. What the heck?
I wonder if I actually like fell for the save erase thing. I don't think so. I don't remember that, but that's pretty good. You got to admit, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
There's some good ones, definitely. I considered Alan Wake. I don't know how you guys feel about that. It's been a while. I don't remember too much about it, but I do remember liking it a fair bit.
I considered it a horror game, didn't consider it for my list. And I do like the flashlight mechanic, but other than that, so are we.
I think that was the first Game Junk episode I've ever was ever on. You guys were reviewing that, and I didn't play it, as per usual.
You were not like on episode, first Game Junk?
Episode 2 or 3. No, I was on like the second one.
Oh.
I think the first one we did Limbo, and it was just
yeah
Frank.
Well, yeah. I thought Limbo might be on lists, or Inside I've seen.
I thought about Inside more than Limbo.
Yeah, but, so did I.
I don't find Inside that horror-ish, to be honest.
No, I mean, it's in the zone, but yeah, it didn't make my list. And I guess we should mention maybe the Silent Hill series. Did anyone consider those?
I've honestly never played a Silent Hill game.
No?
No, it's like...
I haven't played enough either.
I was too scared.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I played a bit of 2. That was the only one that I played a bit of.
But, honestly, everything I saw with that game when it came out, I just saw the fog, and I just felt like graphical limitations, and I just didn't... I would like to see an updated version of Silent Hill, but I never got into it. The one I did want to love when it came out back then was Nightmare Creatures.
Oh, yeah, that N64?
It was on PlayStation 1
PlayStation as
well. It was like these crazy creatures in this kind of 3D world, and I was like, this looks amazing, and I remember renting it and being like, yeah, this sucks. But I tried to force feed that game pretty hard back in the day.
Yeah, I feel like there probably could have been like a Castlevania game on here or something somewhere, but
you know what?
I couldn't find one that I liked.
The Castlevania horror thing. They had Bloodlines seem to pop up on a lot of lists, but I'm not buying it.
I was trying to think of like early games that scared me, and the first one that came to mind was Friday the 13th for NES. I don't know if you guys remember that.
But scared me that I paid even $20 for it as a budget.
one that came to mind for me that was kind of older was Out of This World. I don't know if it would necessarily count as horror, but I recall being kind of like stressed out in that environment because maybe it was just because you could die so many ways and so easily. But I felt like there was kind of like, maybe it was like just a mystery, I guess, as well. But I considered that one for a little bit.
Haven't played Until Dawn. Haven't played. I thought about Condemned. I remember liking that, but didn't remember enough about it.
I think there's another one that came out recently. It's not The Evil Within. It's something else, kind of
like the first person one.
About Layers of Fear. I don't know if that's
it's Layers of Fear.
No, I think you're thinking of there was a. It's
it had like a camera, and you had like night vision, I think, on it. Outlast? I think I'm thinking
of
Outlast.
Is it called Outlast? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And there was a sequel, right?
Yeah.
I played that. Couple, didn't like it.
Couple more honorable mentions for me. I was considering putting the original Resident Evil and RE4 on here. I actually RE4 is one of my biggest like piles of shame that I have not beaten. I've only really played that first little Spanish village area and not much more past that. Maybe I've gotten to the first kind of like major boss past that, but it's one of those games where there's been so many remakes and so many chances to play it, and I still haven't gotten around to it. Alien Isolation I was also considering, but I probably, like you, Sean, haven't put that much time into it, so it kind of fell off. It was going back and forth on my list. Fear, the original Fear.
Yeah,
which I remember being kind of spooky and kind of weird.
Wasn't John Carpenter involved in that? Or was the one for 360?
One of them he was involved in, I think, yeah. Wasn't the AI a big thing with that one, too?
Yeah, and I think the physics. I think there was like a lot of like breakable objects and stuff.
I remember the 360 one having the worst achievements ever, like impossible, not even numbers. That is horrifying. So if that was their intention, it worked.
What other, or I guess two others I just thought of, kind of more leaning towards the comedic horror, but I still thought might fit in this list. One is Dead Rising, which was huge when the 360 first came out, for basically the technical feat of having all the zombies and all the different characters. But the game was really not that fun, from what I remember. And then Deadly Premonition, which I thought would have maybe cracked Wise list, but it did not.
I've never played it.
Really?
I should, but...
Yeah, this is like... Yeah, it's like Twin Peaks, the video game.
I considered... Red Dead Zombie expansion, but I didn't remember enough about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
All right, enough with these honorable mentions. We've set our lists.
Yeah, let us know in the comments. I'm sure there's tons of
or
good
don't.
Stuff we missed.
This is bullshit. Let's get into what we played. Sorry, Huck, were you saying something?
Oh, I was just going to say, I also thought Dwight might go with Alone in the Dark.
I said that
classic.
It.
Yeah, I never played that either.
A classic early... Commodore style. I guess it was after the Commodore.
All right, let's get into what we played. Anyone have anything? I forgot I did play something, but it was literally a week ago. I'll say it. It was a week after we recorded, a week ago, right after we recorded the show, played Mass Effect Legendary Edition, Mass Effect 1, did the whole first mission, and I was like, I'm feeling some nostalgia, liking what I'm doing here, and then I'm like, I really want a concrete trophy guide before I go any further. So I think I know I can do this, but let's not take any chances here playing anything without someone doing it first and letting me know it's going to be okay. So I will return to it, I hope, but not yet. I didn't check Power Picks the last 5 days. Is there anything there yet? There is not.
So just on that real quick, like I know like we were talking about it, I think you said you have that coming from the library, Huck?
Yep. Yes. It's coming. It's ordering in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like I want to play it eventually, but like, so I played 2 and really liked 2, never got into the first one. And I've been reading some of the reviews and stuff, and a lot of people are saying, you know, the first Mass Effect is the one that benefits the most from this remaster. I mean, any thoughts on that? Frank?
The first one?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell. It's been so long. It's kind of tough.
Yeah. I read that they...
I liked it. I know they did. There's an optional leveling system, but I mean, other than that, the menus are the same. Like, you have to do all the meticulous stuff, and I think you can kind of change the rate at which you get level up points, but it didn't... It looked better. Obviously, everything's, you know... like really, I guess the first one was HD too. So I don't know. It looks better, but I didn't notice anything major, but I didn't compare it side by side. It could be a huge improvement, to be honest.
I saw, I think it was Digital Foundry did a video, and they added quite a bit of like improved textures. Like a lot of the ground was like really shitty textures before in Mass Effect, especially in like that Eden Prime mission. and they were showing some comparisons, and they added like a better ground texture, and then they'd also added in kind of like random rocks and stuff to kind of make it more three-dimensional in its spacing.
I guess one thing I just realized, I noticed but wasn't aware of it, I think they got rid, or it wasn't a default on option for like the, you know how the first one and subsequent ones had like the grainy post-process?
Yep.
For sci-fi? I don't think that was turned on when I played. It looked like very clean. I think it was off. I don't know if it's actually in there or not.
I think it is in there. It may be off, though. I think I remember hearing a podcast or something where they talked about turning it on and off. But I think they also improved the combat a bit, or changed the combat. I think maybe they I read that they put like the melee button on it, whereas in the original Mass Effect, you had to be like sprinting and like holding the RT button, like the right trigger, in order to actually do a melee attack. Like,
really?
It was really cumbersome in the first game. Yeah, if I recall correctly.
I don't remember that. I remember meleeing the shit out of stuff in the first one.
Well, maybe I'm wrong then.
So stupid. It's the worst melee attack. Is it melee or melee? Is this another veal thing? I don't know.
No, what you're saying there is one is not a word, one is a word.
Which one's not? Mine?
I think it's French with accents, right? So
melee?
Melee is technically is the French pronunciation.
What's not a word?
Veiled.
Oh, I know that. Sorry, I thought my version of melee, is that a word?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the French pronunciation, which is correct, is melee, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would agree with that. I would say melee.
Or melee. However you want to say it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've played a bit more Resident Evil Village. Just before I get into that, I was just remembering that there was a bit of a discussion going on in the Discord, and I wanted to ask you a question, Frank. So this was actually from Empress Brosephine. And the question was, how come Frank can't watch scary movies, but he can play the Resident Evils? And I mean, I just got through the dollhouse section of Resident Evil Village, and I was certainly thinking to myself, how did Frank get through this?
I don't know. I think I had like a mild, like, once playing that game, but because I'm playing and the audio is a much less of a factor, where like, you know, in a movie the audio comes down and it's the scare audio is gonna really crank everything up, and I'm not doing anything, so it's just me sitting there anticipating, I guess is how I would break it down. But
That's interesting, because like, to me, like, horror video games are almost more
in VR. It was the experience of a movie, like,
well, VR for sure, but
every
like
2 seconds.
Like, when you're there's a dark room, right? In a movie, you're sitting there and it's like the character's going in. You can't stop the character. You might be like, "Don't go in there," but they're going in. In a game, you actually have to make yourself go in that room, and that's like there's a bit of a difference there. I feel like that's more intense.
Maybe it's a Resident Evil thing, because I don't think there's that many jump scares in those games. I don't like have this feeling of dread, where I remember the Prey demo, the recent one, it was like any object, it's random, that could like jump out and be this thing. And that was like, yeah, I don't want to play that. That might, but Resident Evil, the jump scares are very like meticulously placed. To be honest, there's not that many of them. That I can remember in these games. But like the biggest jump scare I think I've ever had in a game, to my recollection, is Arkham City, I think, where the first time you see, they use the same like framework or cinematic, I think, one for the Joker and one for who's the bat villain, like the actual vampire bat that's flying over the city in that game.
Man Bat?
Yeah, maybe Man Bat. The introduction of that character, and then another time the, what's so funny, Huck?
Oh, just I was just thinking of Man Bear Pig. Man Bear Pig from South Park when you guys said that.
And like both of those, like you think you're going up over a building, and they're like, it's not Like, they, it's so cool how they, because it's in an open area, you think, oh, there's nothing, like, not that, that I think that game's scary anyway, but they trigger a cinematic and, like, I don't know how they kind of put you down that path, and it scared the living shit out of me. It was Mulholland Drive dumpster guy at 4 a.m. I'm not, not that this didn't, like, that made me not sleep. When I watched Mulholland Drive the first time, it was so late at night, I'm like, what the fuck?
So it's more like,
I've never been so shook by anything in my life than Mulholland Drive. But this, like, scared the shit out of me. And, I mean, the biggest jump scare ever I've talked about before is 7, the sloth part. I've never been more surprised by anything in a movie.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, I mean, this dollhouse section in Resident Evil Village, people have been talking about it, I think. And I thought it was really well done, like, just because it's paced a certain way. Like, it's... And you were talking about the audio and stuff. I mean, that whole level, there's no sound. Like, they drop out all the sound. So you're just like, something's coming any minute, and they just wait and wait. And
I don't know why. That's basically what it boils down to. When I play Resident Evil, I'm not thinking something is coming every minute. I think I'm just gonna shoot shit and love it.
Fair enough. But yeah, I really liked it. Still enjoying the game. I am getting the feeling that the story is a bunch of nonsense, but that's okay. Yep. It's par for the course.
I finished Final Fantasy IX. I think I was talking about it last week. How
finished it?
Yeah. Well, I mainlined it a bit, to say the least. I basically used all the cheat codes, and like, I was playing it regular, and then I was looking at the clock, and I was like, I only have like 8 hours to finish this game. All right, battle mode on. No fights on. Like, I basically just ran through the rest of the game to see the story part of it. And yeah, I had beaten this game before, I'm sure, but I definitely didn't really remember too much about it. And I still don't really understand why this game is held in such high regard compared to some of the other Final Fantasy games. I feel like maybe this is like baby's first Final Fantasy game that people played, so it's their favorite or something like that. But yeah, I don't really get it. I like it. I think it's fine, but it's definitely not as good as some of the other Final Fantasy games, in my opinion. So, yeah, that's about it. That's all I played.
I have one other thing to mention real quick. And I kind of more mentioned it because I'm actually curious, like, something I would ask for recommendations maybe from the listeners. So, never really gotten into the whole visual novel thing. But I've always thought, you know, like, it feels like something that would be kind of up my alley. You know, like, I like old adventure games or, like, text adventures. I don't know. It just feels like something that I should be into. But at the same time, like, I'm not that interested in, like, romance stories, stuff like that. So, but I started playing 999, which is the first of the Nonary Games Zero Escape series. Mm-hmm. And, you know, been hearing about this forever, and I like the idea that this one has like an escape room puzzle element to it. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot, and I am enjoying it, but it's like, it's really pushing the limits of how much text I'm willing to read. And I know that that's the point of the genre and whatever, but like, I just feel like, man, the pacing of this could use some tweaking. So I mean, I'm liking it. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it or not, but it's just one of those things. It's on the DS, so if I'm, you know, outside in the backyard, I might bring it out with me here and there. But I just thought I'd throw it out. Like, I don't know if anybody has recommendations for, like, amazing visual novels that aren't romance stories. But, hey,
Sean, you should have just waited for Famicom Detective. What are you doing?
I've been thinking about it.
I heard that is maybe not the best choice for... to jump into if he's that's like a lot of text. I heard like a lot of text.
Yeah, and I heard it's very old school in a lot of ways, so but I'm still tempted. And I mean, it's one of those things, like with 999, I like, the story is good enough that I'm kind of like, okay, I can see myself sticking with this, but I don't know. I wish they had, like, it's so annoying. You have to, like, you can't hit the button to skip to the next page of text. You have to literally wait for it to go all the way across the screen, then hit the button. That's so frustrating.
I have a recommendation for you. Danganronpa. You ever played those?
I have not, but I've heard of them. So
it's there is a lot of text, and there is like some like romantic, I guess, parts where like some of the students are like, you know, hitting on each other while they're flirting. But it's really a fun game, and there's some neat puzzles. There's some humor in it. I don't know. I really like it. I've only played the first one, but I know, I'm pretty sure you can get them all on Steam now. I think I've got the second and third one on Steam. I know. I remember I played the first one on Vita originally. But yeah, okay. I would recommend those if you want. And I've tried 999 as well, and it is a little tricky to get into, I found as well.
Yeah, like it opens with like a, you know, pretty early. There's an escape room sequence, and I was like, okay, I'm down for this, but then it just goes for like an hour of text after that. So, yeah. Anyway, okay, cool. I'll check it out.
Okay, that's everything?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was a nice, fun little episode there. I'm not sure what will be in store for next week. Maybe another top five list. We will see. Maybe they'll...
Biomutant. Isn't Biomutant coming out?
I mean, not... Oh, it comes out Tuesday, right?
Yeah,
I'll probably be playing Biomutant. Thanks for reminding me. Sweet. And maybe there'll be some big news. We'll think of something. Don't you worry. But in the meantime, feel free to check us out at youtube.com/gamejunk. And on Twitter, for Huck, My Angry Commute, and Equilibrium Sis. And for Sean, Film Junk. Until next time, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.